So, good morning, everyone. It's a good day to be in church. I say that most days. Good day to be in church. It's just, as I was getting ready last night for the service, God really spoke to my heart. Sometimes God speaks to us, and we listen, and we hear, and we let it go. But I believe this was a word specifically for you and for me. So, but before I tell you what he said, I just want us to prepare our hearts. Because when God speaks, I'm not a guy who gets up here every Sunday and say, God said to me this. But it happens once in a while, and when it does, I really think that we need to listen. Everything that God does in our lives and for us is because he loves us. We sang that song, his love goes on and on and on. It never fails, never gives up. God is always calling out to redeem his people, to bring his people to him, to draw us closer to him. You know, we go to youth camp and we have a legend at youth camp. It's called the legend of Jimmy and Timmy. And it reminds me of God. It really does, because we have these two kids. One was my nephew, Tim, is my brother Tim's son. And this other kid was named Jimmy Lamb. And we play these games in the bush. And we didn't really have any real clear direction about the bush until the legend of Jimmy and Timmy, because they got out in the bush playing, running around, playing this game. And next thing we know, the game was over. And 20 minutes later, there was no Jimmy and Timmy. Right? So I have a pretty big voice. So if you could just shut off this mic for 1 second. Lost. And I was just going through the bush and calling out for them. And I was worried. Like, one of them was my nephew. The other kid, I didn't really care. No, I'm joking. One of them was my nephew. And I was like calling out for him and calling out for him and calling out for him. And he didn't show up. They got picked up by some lady on a side road in the bush. They got driven at, 20 minutes away by car. And then we had to go get them and bring them back to the camp. But I remember that calling out and that heart to see them come back, because I didn't want to have to explain to my brother that I lost your kid. but he might have been happy, who knows. but God is constantly calling out to you and to me. He's calling out every day. He's drawing us toward him. Whenever we get to that place where we ever think we're close enough, we got this in the bag, we got this cornered, then we really have missed God. And as I've been reading through the book of Acts, I was really ready for a rah-rah kind of time in my life, because it is a bit of a rah-rah kind of book. You know, there's a lot of good stories, but it's really been challenging me. It's really been putting pressure on me. I find myself saying, am I really that passionate? Am I really that zealous? Am I really willing to endure the suffering that goes along with what these people did for God? Can I really say, like, I want the good stuff, right? I want the signs and wonders and miracles, but am I really willing? Like, I was reading this week, and Paul was talking about going back to Jerusalem. And God told him to go there, and people were telling him, don't go. They have prophets coming to him and say, don't go. They're going to suffer there. They're going to tie you up. A guy came and took a belt and tied him up, and he said, this is how you're going to be tied up. And Paul's going, don't you guys get this? This isn't about me. This is not about me. This is about my obedience to God. And I'm willing to go. What if they kill me? What if they beat me? Whatever. It's not about me. So, last night, I was sitting in my living room. And I said, God, what is it that you really want to say to your church today? Because honestly, I don't want to just come to church, have a nice little meeting, go home and not really be different. I don't really want to go through a routine. I've walked in this path for so long. I'm tired. I don't want to play games. I don't want to go through the routine. I don't want to just live life just for the sake of doing it, you know? And what really God, I really felt God say this word to me. Return to me. Return to me. So I got out my Bible and started looking around at Scripture. And one of the Scriptures I ran across was in Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, come, let us return to the Lord. We sing a song, come, let us return to the Lord, and He will heal us. Confess our sins to the Lord, and He will redeem us. You know? And really, I know that the people I'm looking at across this room mostly are people that know the Lord. You've walked with Him. You know Him. But when I read the book of Acts, it looks a lot more like we used to be than we are today. And I think partly, you know, I read in Revelations. And so this is not normal for me, okay? I don't usually go off my notes, but I'm way off my notes. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to bring this around this morning because I didn't really, my message didn't quite fit. It didn't quite, I wasn't sitting happy with it, but really God showed me that probably what I've got ready is the ending, not the beginning. But I was reading, you know, in Acts, and I hate looking at the churches in Acts, a lot of them, because He always reveals a weakness or a problem in the church. And so if I read and listen to what God spoke to me last night about returning to Him, the scripture that I could read from Revelations is found in 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. That's a returning to God. It was really, this was not speaking to a people that did not know God. This was speaking to a people that knew Him. The thing I hate about this verse is it was written to the church at Laodicea. So, this morning, I don't want to come here and judge, you know what, I'm not, because I got to judge myself too. But the one thing I want us to remember is that whenever God speaks to us, He's speaking to us to love us, to draw us to Him, to call out, you know, for the legend of Jimmy and Timmy. It's always that calling out, that calling back, that returning to God. And I really believe that God wants us as a church to return to that passion, that zeal, that desire to have Him working in our lives, to really be able to walk in what He has for us and what He has planned for us. So hopefully this morning that spoke to someone because it spoke to me. And if it didn't speak to you, well, at least I feel better. So anyway, I want to just talk this morning about, I was reading through in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, and if I can get that up. And this verse kind of stopped me. And it was talking about that, you know, Paul was preaching and there was this uproar in the city and it says, and not finding them, they drew Jason and certain brothers before the city judges crying, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. These people had turned the world upside down, the known world at that time. When they were speaking this about this was in a city that was 1,000 miles by land from Jerusalem. And these were people that, in this culture, they generally didn't travel more than a day or two from their home. But these were 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. In a short time, the power of the Holy Spirit had brought so much cultural change to the world coming toward that city that they actually said that those who have turned the world upside down have come to our city as well. So I started thinking about that. And I really have, Lord, you know, like been reading the book of Acts and trying to understand what are the implications of the book of Acts to me? Like, what does it mean to me? I don't think that God gave us the book of Acts so that we could look back and say, well, that was a pretty cool time. That was neat. That was pretty awesome. It wasn't like supposed to be a fairy tale. It wasn't supposed to be that. It was to remind us what the church should look like. So as I'm reading and I'm thinking about, you know, well, is that what the church is doing today? This church, any church, are we really turning the world upside down with the gospel, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with what we're doing for God? I want you to think about this for a minute. Maybe you already know this. Maybe this thought has never crossed your mind, but God invested the same Holy Spirit power in you and me that he invested in Jesus as he walked this earth. The same Spirit that lived in Christ when he came out of the water is the same Spirit that is in us now. And he's entrusted us as the church with that same power. He's invested that power within us. When we read the Gospels, we see that they are about Jesus being filled with the Spirit, right? And then he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. And then Jesus died in our place. He set us free from sin. He set us free from death. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. That means he cleansed us. He made us righteous, which means that we stand right with God. That we stand clean before God. Not because of any work that we did, but because now we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are right with God. Not partially right, not we got to earn our way to be right, but we are absolutely right with God today. When we read the book of Acts, we see that it is about God filling his church with the Holy Spirit and them doing things that rock the world from that time till now. We have been filled with the Spirit in the same way that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Exactly the same way. Jesus really showed us what a life filled with the Spirit can do. So Jesus was a lot more than someone who showed us. He was also our Redeemer, our Savior. He was the perfect Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. But he showed us what a life filled with the Spirit could do. In Matthew 3:16, Mark 1:10, Luke 3:22, and in John 1:22, it says that the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of a dove, descended on Jesus as he stepped out of the waters of baptism. That the Holy Spirit fell on Jesus. And in Luke 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There was a place in Jesus' life where he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't he was not God as he walked the earth. He was man. He came in the likeness of a man. And he was a man. And then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So just to sort of point that out scripturally, because I know some people have a hard time. We have a hard time understanding that Jesus was fully man. He came here and he was tempted, tested, and tried in every way that we were. And yet he did not sin. This is what it says, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 9. Think of yourselves the way that Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling experience. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far above anyone or anything ever. So he became human. That was humbling for him because he was God. He stepped down into human form. He became a human being. He was born of Mary. So Jesus set aside his privilege of deity and became human. Had all the human characteristics. But when the Holy Spirit empowered him, it changed everything. It changed everything. He was strengthened, and he came out, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. He didn't come out in the power of him being Jesus, the Son of God. He came out in the power of the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. You may not believe in yourself. You might not believe that God could use you, but God believes in you and has entrusted that you with that same Spirit that filled Jesus. The same Spirit that filled Jesus. And now that Spirit fills you, and you can and should do what Jesus did in this world. It's hard to grasp. It's hard to think. Even when I read the book of Acts, I'm like, how can that be? How? What manner of man are these people? So in Romans 8:11, it says, but if the Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised up Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, shall also make your mortal bodies alive by his Spirit that dwells in you. So the same Spirit that lived in Jesus now lives in us and quickens us and strengthens us to live life God's will, God's way. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus said, I can guarantee this truth. Those who believe in me will do the things that I am doing, and they will do greater things because I am going to the Father. I didn't say it. He said it. He said, when you're filled with the Spirit, when you're walking in God's ways, when you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you'll do greater things than Jesus did. It's not because of who we are. It's because of the Spirit that lives in us and empowers us. In John 16, verse 7, it says, Jesus said, but I tell you that I'm going to do what is best for you. Now, if I'm sitting with Jesus, I'm one of the disciples, this is the last kind of, you know, speech he's given me, and he's saying, I'm going to do what's best for you. I'm thinking, well, you know what? He's going to stick around. He's going to be with me. I'm going to be part of what he's doing in the earth. But this is what he says. That is why I'm going away. I wouldn't understand that. If I was one of the disciples, I'd be like, what? You're going to do what's best for me and now you're going away? He said, the Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I'm gone, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus set his followers up for before he died. And he was speaking to his disciples, preparing them for what was to come. He was setting them up to really redeem the world back to himself. Again, that whole idea that God's calling out through your life and through mine, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weak and weary, and I will give you rest. He said, come to me. He's calling the world back to himself, and he was doing it when he walked the earth. He's doing it now through us. Then just before he ascended to heaven, after he spent time with his disciples after his death, this is what he says. In Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, he says, as they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father had promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. So this was the expectation, to go and wait and be filled. Just off the notes. But there's a time for all of us to go wait on God. Like Pastor Peter talked last week about being filled. It's a continuous act of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one time. I remember when I was a kid and we, you know, had church at night, and there was Pentecost, it was in the Pentecostal church back then, and there was testimony time, and there was two or three people that would get up and say, like, back in 1945, you know, God filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues, and that was the experience, and that's where it ended for them. And I was like, well, that's cool, but what good does it do today? Because the idea wasn't to be filled and then not be filled again, but to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Because honestly, we leak. I don't know about you. We leak. I mean, I could spend time in God's Word. I could spend time learning from God's Word. And I learn all this stuff, and I'm so excited, and I'm talking about it. And then, I get a busy week, and I'm not filling myself up. I'm not spending as much time with God as I could. And then I'm feeling like down. Not down, but like not strong, not really feeling that power of God moving in me. And so it's a constantly being filled. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, what you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. The idea of God filling us with the Spirit was to draw all men to Him. It wasn't just so you could do magic tricks. It wasn't just so you could have Simon the Sorcerer follow you around and say, ooh, that was cool. How much you want for it? It wasn't about you. Just like Paul said, don't you get it? I might get beaten. I might die. But it's not about me. It's about God and His kingdom. It's about being obedient to God. So we're walking around sometimes and we want to do the tricks. But we don't want to pay the... We don't want to spend the time. We don't want to pay the price. Because honestly, seriously, I don't know how you all feel about guys like Benny Hinn or what you think about him, but I've been in services when Benny Hinn was preaching and praying for the sick, and I've seen people that were like dying or close to dead raised up. And God did great miracles. I remember being in Catherine Kuhlman services where people were on stretchers and raised out of the stretchers. And I'll tell you what, those people, whether we like it or not, whether we like them or not, as God has used them in the past, people have abused them. Not only the world, but the church. If you're gonna do great things for God, honestly, probably not an easy ride. Probably not always going to go your way. Probably not everybody's always going to be patting you on the back and saying, wow, you're an amazing person. They were killing the disciples. Paul got ran out of so many cities. Paul got beat up so many times. Paul got left for dead outside the city. Paul was like, it was his life was, and Peter too. Like these guys, they're in prison. They get beat up. They walk out of the prison with a smile on their face, and they're so happy because, well, we got to share in the shame of Jesus. I don't know. I don't get it. But that was what it was. And so the disciples went to Jerusalem and they waited. And when the time came, they're all in one accord, in one place. And then the Holy Spirit fell. The room where they were was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Like, think about that. You get a windy night outside, but the house was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And then tongues of fire appeared. Now, you know, whenever you see little pictures, it's a little tongue of fire, and maybe it was a huge tongue of fire, whatever a tongue of fire. If I see fire on all your heads this morning, I'm freaking out and getting the fire extinguisher because it's just that strange. You know, but God did this great thing, and all of a sudden they started speaking languages that they didn't even understand to people that were from all over the world. They were hearing the goodness of God in their own language. The Holy Spirit fell. The end of the day... The languages came, but it wasn't to glorify the people that were speaking the languages. It was to lead those people to Christ. They heard about the goodness of God in their own language, their own tongue. So the church grew that day from 120 to 3,000 people. And it kept growing and growing. Every day it multiplied. Holy Spirit was at work, and He had come just as He promised, and He was empowering the church, and the church was changing the world, and the same Spirit is still alive and active in His church in 2014 in Dunville, Haldeman, Niagara, Lincoln, right across this whole peninsula, right across the province of Ontario, right across the nation of Canada, and all around the world, and he's still seeking to draw people to himself. And he's chosen you today as a vessel in this time, in this place, to carry his good news to the people around us, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your hockey team, to your knitting group, to Facebook, to maybe talk radio, to maybe whatever vehicle, whatever place God has given you influence. He's filled you with the Holy Spirit to be in that place and to really draw and lead culture to the power of God and to the salvation that comes through Jesus. It's our responsibility. We're called to that. And we're not only called to it, he's given us the power to do it. He loves you. You know what? Seriously. It's easier for me to say that to you than it is to say it to me. Because I know who I am. Sometimes I lay in my bed at night and I'm like, God, why did you even pick me? Why did you even choose me to do what I'm doing? I don't get it. I know my weaknesses. I know who I am. I know that, you know, sometimes I'm just not the person I think I should be. But God loves me and he loves you. And he's invested everything in proving that love and drawing you to him. But he wants to also use you to draw others to him. The Holy Spirit of God is filling his church to go into all aspects of culture. All aspects of culture and society and bring the power of God with them. He loves you and has entrusted this generation to you so they can be transformed through the power of the Spirit. Let's not underestimate the power of what God's entrusted to us and the responsibility that he's entrusted to us for this generation. I can't do anything about a generation that has gone behind. I can't go back and fix, you know, even my, you know, generations that go before me. But God's given me a responsibility, your responsibility for the generation we're living in. And are we really living in the power of the Spirit? The Spirit was poured out upon you and me. It's being poured out upon you and me. If it's never been poured out upon you, all he's waiting for you is to ask him to pour it out upon you, so that we can demonstrate the power of God to heal, to set free, and to deliver. So, I really believe this. Jesus was a prototype of what a Spirit-filled life would look like. We can look at the way Jesus lived and see what we should live like as Spirit-filled people. And then when we're done looking at Jesus, we can look at Acts, and where it proves that not only was Jesus filled with the Spirit and able to do these great things, but we can look at Acts and see that God has filled us with the Spirit to do these great things, to build his kingdom, to draw people toward him, to reveal the love of God for people. So Jesus, right, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. He set people free. He delivered people. And he spoke and acted with boldness and wisdom and really shook the world through the power of the Spirit. And today, God has filled you with the Spirit so that you can see people healed, set free, delivered, so that you could speak with boldness and wisdom and shake the world through the power of the Spirit. Acts 17, verse 6. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Let that be spoken of us. Let that be our testimony. Let that be the testimony that the world speaks of us in this life, in this world, today. Because the world If there's ever been a time the world needs Jesus, and it's always needed Jesus, but in this day, in this age, I could see such a great need. These believers led by Paul were 600 miles by sea or 1,000 miles by land from where the Spirit was poured out in Jerusalem. And that was what was said about them. These people who have turned the world upside down have come here. Without CNN, NBC, ABC, WWW, Facebook, talk radio, whatever. They didn't have the technology. We sometimes are trying to be so clever and trying to figure out so many good ways to reach people. But the Bible teaches seriously just to walk in the Spirit, to have the power of the Spirit living in you, the same power that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and is still being continually poured out even in this day. It's available for you and me to walk with God in that way. So, he gave them the power to be witnesses. That's what it said he would do. First of all, let me repeat this. God loves you, has a plan for you. God loves the people of this world. He has a plan for them. His plan for them comes through his plan for you. We need to walk in the power of the Spirit. So what was church like back then? Can we be like the early church? Can we, is the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, still available today? I mean, some people teach that it passed away with the apostles. Has it diminished? Has the power of the Spirit diminished over time? Was the Holy Spirit only for that day? Do we even want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives today? Micah 6, verse 1 says, "Come, let us return to the Lord." So, I have more notes, but I think I'm done. I just like the band to come up and play a song. I don't know, let's do "Greatest Thy Faithfulness." And this morning, if at any time during the service you really felt a tug on your heart that said, you know, God, I really do need to return. I do really need to open that door and let you come in. This morning, I want to challenge you to just take a few minutes as the band leads us in worship. If you got nothing to pray about, then just worship the Lord. It's great to worship him. But if you would say this morning, you know what, I really need to take a step back toward God. I really need to just maybe just make a stand and say, I'm going to live for him all out, full out. Then this morning, I would invite you to come to the altar. But if you don't want to come to the altar, stay in your seat. You could just bow your head and just talk to God about it for a little while. And we'll close the service with that. Once we're done, I'll just pray a prayer and send you on your way. But this morning, let's just take a few moments again just to respond to what God's saying. If you really feel God was speaking to you this morning, then take some time and let's respond. Don't delay. Don't put it aside.